Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Kingdom Empowerment Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Donna Wortham. I am the host, and I have with me co-host Paulius Amakodia, founder of Christ for the Africans Ministry. We'd like to welcome you to our Kingdom Empowerment Blog Talk Radio Show. Today is March 10, 2014, where we are here to equip and empower the body of Christ and add value to your God-inspired destiny and purpose. Our topic for today is under our Kingdom Keys, which is Christian Leadership Series number 3, and we'll be discussing sharing the vision with concise clarity, sharing your vision with concise clarity. Again, it's under our Christian Leadership Series number 3. And I'm going to read a scripture, and I will ask Apostle if you can please open us up in prayer after I read our scripture for today, which is Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4. And the Bible says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Apostle Paul, can you please open us up in prayer today? Apostle Paulius, can you open us up in prayer today? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, and we glorify your holy name, and we just lift you up on high, and we pray that you will be with us in the midst of us today as we share the vision of the kingdom of God and how we can make it clear and concise and plain for the body of Christ so that we can take understanding and move forward in your direction and the things that you have given to us, given us charge over, Father, that we may be able to build up the kingdom of God and bring others into the fold with the clear direction and foundation of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So today we are here again to talk about Christian leadership and how the vision that have been given to us by Christ to build up the kingdom of God, how can we make it clear and concise that every follower can understand it, be able to grasp hold of it and run with it, and also how we can equip them and empower them to play the role that God would have given them to play in our vision without holding them back from their divine destiny as well. So what I'm going to bring out a few points about sharing the vision with concise clarity. Christian leaders should be able to share the vision that has been given to them by God. So when we look at that, how can we share the vision again? How can we communicate it over to the audience or the followers that God have given you? where they will take understanding on it and run with it and be able to do what God wants them to do within your vision or within the vision that is inspired by God. Sometimes you may want to transcend a kingdom of God culture. Your vision may be that, okay, I want to change the culture of the current environment within the body of Christ. Right now I see that there's not a culture of love. So you want to create an environment where everyone is loved and accepted. How do we go about transcending such a concept or a vision into the body of Christ that everyone will genuinely feel that way and want to be a part of the vision that God has set the order in the body of Christ to be. So in order to get everyone on board with the vision, they will need to have understanding of your vision, and you would need to be able to motivate and inspire them with the same enthusiasm and positivity you have inside about that vision. So not by force, not by implementing or manipulating ideas, but as we said in the first series with our worship and relationship and covenant with Christ, we can do many things. We can bring many people into the revelation of what God is trying to do with us. So it's vital that every follower understands the vision and that it's 100% clear on the goals that adhere to the vision. So as you are striving to keep the followers connected with God for a better and secure and certain future in Christ Jesus, so you want to eliminate every uncertainty about the vision. And we share the vision. We can be more productive in it if we allow God to work in us as we are releasing the vision that he has inspired us to get the followers on board with that will build up the kingdom of God under the concepts and principles of God. And it has to be a common vision of Jesus Christ and the truth and spirit. So that vision will be aligned with the word of God. It will be aligned with his will for the body of Christ. And also one of the key things that that will help with the vision is if you have followers in which you incorporate into the participation of putting the vision quest into place with advanced revelation. So sometimes God will place key role players around you to help you to build the vision, write it plain, and make it plain for the followers so that they can come on board with you and go along with you. A way to help followers to see the dream come true is by charting the successes of the vision, your expectations, how you can measure the vision coming into fruition, what are the benefits of the vision for the kingdom of God, and how can you measure those benefits, and how can they be turned into actual testimonies for the kingdom of God, showing that this is God, this was God, what we're doing. When the followers have clear roles in the vision defined, they will know their part and they will play their part for achieving the vision, increasing the desire to participate in the vision as well. So these are very key things that we need to think about when we are developing a vision, and we'll focus on a vision area, and we'll talk about how we can make that vision, those strategies, implement strategies to instill the vision, a culture of that vision in your environment. Apostle Paulus, do you have anything you would like to share at this time regarding sharing the vision and making it clear and concise for the followers or the audience that God has given you to share that vision with?
Yes. I'm sorry that when you told me to pray, I hear you, but you could not hear me, so I'm very sorry.
Oh, no problem. This is real talk, so we're real at this time, and it's okay that things happen. So we can move forward in Christ Jesus.
Yes. When you talk about vision, it means that vision, we are human beings, and also as well as spiritual beings. So first of all, you have to receive the vision from the Spirit before we implement it in the physical for all of us to see. You see, God is a God of principles, and systematically, he had a plan of redemption that he outlined it in Genesis after our forefather, Adam sinned against him. All of them, I mean, Adam made an excuse that it was the woman that God brought to him, made him to sin. So God had to tackle the situation from the woman and the one that caused her to sin. So he prophesies that there will be an enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It's going to be a time the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, while the serpent's seed also will bruise his heel. So all these things happen, not at one time, but in a long time, when God was trying to communicate man so that man can understand his vision and his salvation plan. And when, after he has established his people in the land, then he can bring the Messiah on the board, on the scene, to do what he prophesied long, long time ago, the Garden of Eden. And you all know the story of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ came on the earth here. It was a vision of God. And God saw the heart of a woman, though he was a virgin, but Mary wasn't only a virgin. He saw his heart, and his heart was connected to God. So God saw that he can connect himself to this lady to bring out the seed God was talking of. And after he sent his angel to deliver the message to Mary, Mary accepted God to use her. And all we know the story how Jesus Christ came about. So before we can able to have a vision, we have to be connected to God, who always gives us the vision. We don't have vision ourselves. We are spiritual beings living in the physical body. But because of Adam's sin, we were all dying in the spiritual. We could not connect ourselves to God. But we thank our Lord Jesus Christ who came to and God. So now we can connect to God. And if we connect to God, God will first of all give us the vision where we can share or where we can able to make it known to the physical realm. I thank you.
Amen, amen. And, you know, I think the body of Christ need to take understanding as well on how to develop a vision. Let's say that God has given you a vision to build a ranch whereby people can come in and pray in that ranch, on that ranch, and it can be self-sufficient. And so how can we go about developing that vision? Of course, we know we have to continue to seek God for insight, because he can set inspire you with a vision, or he can communicate it to you in so many different ways, but you know that this is becomes a passion, that you have to fulfill it. So on the surface, what you have now is that you have to develop this ranch so that people can come in at all times and pray and seek God for revelation, to spend time with God, to fast, whatever they're coming there to pray about or fast for, of course, according to the Word of God. How can we go about bringing this into fruition, that the vision that God has given you has been set in place? Well, in the book of Habakkuk, it said to write the vision and make it plain. But it also gives us somewhat of instruction to take discernment on the vision. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. You know, one of the things about having a vision and a vision being completed, we want that vision to continue successfully, whether we're there or not, in the midst of it, for whatever reason. But that vision should be able to go on from generations to generations to generations. It should never end. So God says that we should write the vision down and make it plain. As we are writing the vision down, God continues to give more clarity along the way, the more we seek in him. Oh, and asking God for revelation over this vision. As we begin walking with the vision and performing the vision, he's still continuing to give insight and direction. He will send people in your path that will add in and enlighten to your vision for direction. Because the vision will, in most cases, will never be a one-man show. So God will put people in your life. He will continue to feed you through his word. He will guide you in many ways on your vision. So how when we start writing it down, Apostle, do you have anything you would like to say in that area about when we write down the vision? What is the benefits to that?
It depends upon the vision that God gave you. Is it a personal vision or general vision for human race? So you have to know definitely that when God gives vision, it's not personal that he's giving you. But you are going to benefit from it. If giving a vision towards salvation, the whole salvation is a plan. Like as I've said on Genesis, when God prophesied this thing. So it was his own vision that he was trying to bring it across people. But to me, when you write a vision down, it depends upon what vision God wants you to accomplish. For me, God will make sure that the vision is written in your heart, even if you forget to write it. You know, Old Testament, God called different people, and how he talked to them is different from we at this generation. So in the Old Testament, he called them in different way and different situation. So I may not know what type of vision he told them to write. But we now here, our vision has been fulfilled already in the spiritual realm. He sent his beloved Jesus Christ to come and die for us. And that fulfillment has been made. So if he gives you a vision and it's not related to salvation, then I don't know how you are going to bring people on board. Because God looks at the heart first, as I've said. In the heart, he can the issues of life are there. So he looks at the heart of each of us. So if you are not right with God, he will draw your attention so that you can change your heart before he can give you the vision. By writing it down, let me come into the lesson. By writing it down, it will not let you forget what God has communicated to you. So you know the timing and how you are going to tackle or implement the vision from A to Z. You have to write them down and say, oh, 5 years' time, I will do this. In 10 years' time, I will do this. In 15 years' time. So in a time frame, you can give yourself a time frame of in 20 years' time, this is what I'm going to accomplish. And you make sure that your followers also understand the vision. So that by in case God call you home, somebody will continue and the vision will not die with you. So you have to write it down so that everybody can read it. Amen.
Amen. And I want to point out a few things regarding when God has inspired you with a vision for business or ministry, whatever it is, to build up the kingdom of God. These are some things to consider before you start, and Apostle pointed some of them out. Are you able to run the race alone with the vision? Are you able to influence others along with the vision? Can you manage vendors and people that you have to be associated with when you are working, beginning to walk the vision out or to set things in order for the vision? Are you an innovative person, or do you need additional insight from other areas? I mean, can you handle building websites? Can you handle dealing with media for your vision alone? Do you need innovation, someone to help you in that area, or can you do it alone? Do you have a support system? How is your faith? Do you really believe that you can do this? And can you stand arrows that are going to come with you? Or can you stand facing the obstacles that you have to overcome? Do you need a mentor, someone that has already been through something similar to what you're doing? Do you need a mentor to assist you, to help you along the way, to sit down and maybe coach and guide you to the next level? those are some things to consider when you are inspired by God with a vision for business or ministry. I know that there are areas that when I start moving with something that God has inspired me to do, and you can have several visions within a vision. You can also have a vision, for instance, as I mentioned earlier, just to instill within the culture of the body of Christ or the house of God that you have been given charge over. You may want to create a culture of having an environment where everyone is loved and accepted. How do you get your host to buy into that vision? How do you get the ushers and everyone that's playing a role in that, how do you get them to genuinely buy off into it? Of course, it's through Jesus Christ, his ways, but from knowledge, a knowledge standpoint, it can just be on the surface to someone who's not taken understanding on what this vision is all about, and then to if selfish motives continue to exist within the individual and they haven't taken understanding as to why it's so important that that vision exists in the environment, you wouldn't be able to do it alone. You wouldn't be able to transcend that type of vision alone. It will take the people that you want to play a role in it as well. So how do you get them involved and get them on board? Those are things that you have to think about when you are establishing a vision and making it plain. You also want to develop a plan for that vision, because if you don't, while you're planning along the way, God will continue to give you insight. The direction that you were taking yesterday, God may shift it for various reasons. For instance, if you're driving down the road the same direction all the time, in Dallas, Texas, they have a highway called 635. It's a common highway, but you may have been driving that 635 highway for a long time to get from point A to point B. Now all of a sudden inside of you, the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't take this direction today. So if you are spiritually sound in the kingdom of God, you will be obedient and adhere to the directions the guidance that you are getting, and you will shift and go a different direction. But if you are still unbalanced spiritually, you will continue on toward 635, and behold, when you get there, you realize this is why the Spirit of God is telling me maybe there's an accident on your way where you can't get past to the next, where you will be delayed and have to wait. Or maybe there's some type of obstacle there that God wants you to avoid because of time and purpose and destiny. So it's very important that a plan is developed, obedience to hearing what the Spirit has to say, the Holy Spirit has to say to you, and being attuned to and walking and allowing your steps to be ordered by the Lord. Apostle, do you have anything else you would like to say in that area?
Oh, yes. When we talk about vision, it can be a dream. Somebody like Joseph, he had a dream, but that dream was directly from God. And he discussed it with his parents, with his brothers. But they understood more clearly than Joseph himself that had a dream. Because according to the dream, God is going to make him great greater than his parents and also his brothers. So they began to envy him. Some people are used to hear in the sermon that when you have a dream, you don't share. you don't share. Why should you not share? Something in you cannot keep it. So it will give you, especially your loved ones, to share with them. Whether they love it or not, it's not them that gave you the dream. It's God who gave you the dream. So he shared. I see no sin in it, making Joseph sharing his dream with his parents and family or his brothers. There's nothing wrong with Joseph sharing. And we know the consequences that brought him. Now, this world that we are living with evil and good. And God wants to show that good, evil cannot override good when you love, when you relate to God who is developing you to have your dream come true. So in this case, it's different from somebody that will have a vision. Some people may have a vision, but that vision must not come directly from God. It's their own vision. So in this case, I cannot relate to how they can implement or how they can bring people to help them. What I will say is that if your dream is from God, God will surely bring people who will help you, who will support you. But as you are waiting for people to support you or to help you, you have to do something on your own, something you can afford to do. You don't just, keep on, waiting for God to, act. That is by faith. So by faith, you start doing something, even if it's not accordance with the word of God. God will still correct you. You made a mistake because you are a human being. So when God see you in the action, trying to prevent what he told you to do, it will delay. But that doesn't mean God has denied that the thing that he has put in your heart or has shown you. He will orchestrate, bring you to an area whereby people that God has chosen to come and help you will come, and it will be a surprising thing. So you have to, if it is by salvation or for human race, to help human race, continue to be saying it wherever you go. Don't hide it. Say it to people whether they like it or not. Say it. Because when God gives you a dream, no Jupiter can stop it. God himself will make sure that dream or that vision come to fulfillment. So you don't fear whoever you share the dream. Make sure that your connection with God is secured. Nothing can take you can take us from the love of God that Christ brought us. Nothing can take us. So continue to share your dreams or your vision to people, whether they will love to support you or not. God in his own appropriate time will bring people who understand the vision and to help you if God himself want the people to get involved. So this is the area that I have experienced myself. So I don't know how people also may have their vision or like to facilitate the vision and bring people on board. But to me, if it's directly from God, like Joseph, They have to share. They share with their parents. They share with their family, people around him. And that resulted him to send to Egypt. And even from Egypt to prison, thereby God, brought him out, positioning him as a prime minister. So I don't know whether I answer you correctly.
Oh, you did, you did. And this is the discussion. So you're just sharing your insights as well, just as I am. So I thank you for producing that insight, because it is from various dimensions. And as you so rightly stated, so many people will have one vision where another one will have another vision. But it all comes to the building of the kingdom of God. And that's what the important thing is for when you have a vision, taking clear understanding on it. And I'm going to use a biblical example that is so important to take understanding on the vision, especially not from a physical perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. As we look at the book of Acts, I want to say Acts chapter 9. So let me just go there quickly and read what the Word of God says, so that I do not go off into my own interpretation of what the Bible is saying. And I want to talk about when Peter got the vision where he saw the sheets falling from the sky with unclean animals. And still, when he saw the vision, he realized that, okay, this is not normally something that God would want me to do. So he pondered on it. Pondered on the vision, and I'm in Acts chapter 10, and I'm reading from verse 9, and it says, on the morrow, as they went into their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descended unto him, and it as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, what God hath clean, that call not thou common. And then he goes further on, thus was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again into the heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision, which he had seen, should mean, behold, the men which were sent to Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, surnamed Peter, were lodged there. So while Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and go thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. But I want to move down a little bit further as to why, where he gets the revelation of this vision. In the physical, one would think, okay, well, it's okay for me to eat and drink unclean animals if he didn't take understanding on the dream. But later on, as we read further, Peter brings the revelation that he realized that the vision that he had from discernment, taking discernment of what God really meant, that it was okay for him now to preach to the Gentiles. It was okay for him now to mix in what was at first considered unclean. So it's like now there's a shift in the direction that Peter was originally taking to only preach to the Jews. And now the vision is opening up and expanding that it's okay now for him to preach to the Gentiles. Apostle, would you like to also add insight in that area?
Yes. You see, God is the God of all nations. It's not God of Israel. But he has to start somewhere so that he can draw all men to himself. Because he is a creature. So he chose. By choosing Israel, it doesn't mean he has neglected other nations. He chose them so that the people can understand his faithfulness. He demonstrated his love, his covenant, and how they should worship him. So he showed them everything, the whole world. See how God deals with Israelites. Israel was like their eye. When you touch Israel, you touch God. So you could sense how faithfulness God is. So it became a time that God had to extend, bring all the nation together by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross, that his blood sanctify every nation, make room for every nation to access God, who is willing to come to God. So when Jesus died, he brought opportunity to all nations. But so now, human beings, their brain has not listened. Israel thought, we are only God has chosen. But they never understand the redemption plan of God. The blueprint of God was to extend to other nations. So when they failed God, when they didn't recognize, God know that they are not going to recognize him when he comes into the earth here. God knows their hearts that after Israel rejects him, then he will bring other nations on board. And it will become general. So Peter didn't know. Peter has been trained. He's a Hebrew, so he has been trained the Hebrew culture. And the Hebrew culture, there is a certain food they don't eat. So when the vision came, he was asking God, "Why this?" Because when you are on the earth here, even you did not eat this food. So what is it trying to tell me? And God had to show him that by dying on the cross, he has made a room for everything to be sanctified, everything to be cleansed, that now he can eat all food, which means all nations can come also to him. That was the confirmation Peter had from Cornelius when he heard that Cornelius has been accepted by God. You know, because Cornelius was a Gentile. He had no fellowship the Israelites. So now it became to Peter to know that God is not partial. He has extended his salvation plan to all people, all tribes, all nations. All nations. So that's make the gospel very, very, very powerful, that all nations can come to know God, not Israelites alone. Amen.
Amen. And looking at the vision again, the vision that God had given Peter, you know, at first in this vision, if someone's looking at it from a physical standpoint, okay, what God, these sheets are falling from the sky, and he's seeing unclean animals. God is saying from this, in this vision, this trance that he's in, he's saying to him, eat that which is unclean, I have created, so it's for you to eat. You can eat it. But Peter is like, you know, this doesn't sound right, because all along you've been telling me to stay away from these unclean animals. So he didn't immediately move on it and go and find unclean animals to eat. He pondered on it, and he pondered on it with God, and then God is bringing the revelation to him. So when you get down to verse 28 in Acts chapter 10, he says, and he said unto them, ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God hath shewed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So he's given the revelation of that vision here in Acts chapter 10:28, that trance that he was in, that what he saw, it wasn't related to a physical nature. It was more related to a spiritual revelation that God was giving him. This is the next step I want you to take now with the vision I have given you for building up the kingdom of God. I want you now to start working with what originally was unlawful to you for you to keep company with. I want you to now start working with one another nation. So he's getting a new revelation from God on the original vision that he had set out with, which was to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to build up the kingdom of God. So now God is revealing a new vision to him. So he had to take understanding on that vision in order for it to be activated the way that God had inspired him with. So it's very important for us as believers, as children of the living God, to understand our vision. And the other things that we should consider when we want to increase our vision potential that God has given us, we must become wise and knowledgeable in it. So if he's given you a vision to build a ranch in a place, where will you build it? How will you know unless you seek God for the answer? Is it by water? Put in the passion for it to be self-sufficient, where you can tap in and place a well there. Can you place windmills there? Can you allow solar technology to come in? How will you you begin to research, and you begin to take understanding, and as you are researching and finding these answers, God begin to put every piece of the puzzle together for you. And you continue to seek him. If you never have had to have govern such an activity financially, you have to take understanding on how you will manage the finances, or how for anything that comes, you never know, someone will come and say, here's $150,000, here's $1 million toward the vision that God has given you. How will you manage that, the funding? Because God is so profound, you never know what kind of blue whale that he will give you. How do you increase your competence? You have to increase your faith in this. Every time you pray and you believe in that God is answering you, you believe in that you are getting clarity, you believe in that God is with you along the way in your vision. How do you increase order, order in your life, order in this vision, order for the understanding that you're giving to the audience that you know that God has inspired you to give information to. So, yes, we will pray and God will send the people to us, but we can lose those people if we begin to move in the flesh and release an understanding of the vision without having it clear and concise. We can also hold on to them by giving it to them clear and concisely and under the truth and spirit of God, and then they will remain. Because oftentimes we see people, they will get a vision, and it's inspired by God, and it's definitely in the truth and spirit because it was inspired by God, but they will lose the audience, they will lose the followers because they fail to be able to relate it over where this person can understand it. We have various cultures. We have various levels of thinking. We have various levels of dimensions of communication. Some people that were going through the wilderness with Moses, some of them kept the pace. Some of them were still holding on to Egyptian systems, so they couldn't break the train of thinking that they had. How can you give someone an understanding onto the level of thinking that you are at, that God has given you, to where they can come on to the vision, where they can follow, and they can lose the captivity that they're in? How do you, you also have to renew your way of thinking, your physical nature way of thinking, by allowing the Holy Spirit to work with you. You move forward without your old roots, your old nature, the old nature that you had. Because if you keep walking and moving forward with your own nature and, you know, not moving fully under the spirit and direction of God, the Holy Spirit that's there to be your comforter, to grant you the peace, to give you the serenity to think, it will be difficult for you to move forward in your vision. You also have to understand the precepts and principles and concepts of God. When we look at the world, even just in America alone, there are so many millionaires and so many people that have billions even now. The largest percentage of it is those that kept with the precepts and concepts, the principles of God. They have built structures all around them. They have increased, because they continue to hold on to those principles, precepts, and concepts of God. Amen? Also,
Amen.
We have to continue to increase our worship. So you've been worshiping God this way. How much more can you worship him? How much more can you obey him in your worship to him? It has to be a continuous increase in the worship. Where you are yesterday should change tomorrow. Write the vision down and make it clear and concise, and establish a true urgency to finish the race. What will happen today if you don't work toward that vision? When you lay it down and you procrastinate and you say, oh, I will get to it tomorrow. What is your urgency? Establish the urgency as to why this has to be done. Then you will continue to run the race harder. If your urgency is that you want to stop children from dying, you want to stop You want to create an atmosphere where people will love and accept it. What is your urgency in that matter? What is your passion for that matter? So that you can stay on pace and on course to the direction that God have given you and remain in his will. Apostle, I'm leaving the floor open to you to shed a little bit, shed more light into those areas.
Yes. When God gives you a vision, he will hold you responsible if you do not fulfill that vision. So it's only you that God has given, and you are to fulfill that vision. Like I will take myself to be an example. God has given me a vision almost 32 years ago. God has given me a vision. God is not, does not rush me. But in every situation I find myself, I make sure that I share the vision, or if I can do something that will not let the vision die. When God make a way for me to go to Italy, as soon as I read there and God established me there, I decided not to build any house or anything unless I fulfill that vision. So I have to fall. Why should I not start from Accra? But I started in my hometown. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, even without me going back to the vision God gave me. When you look at the vision of Jesus Christ, he started everything in his home. First of all, when he went to the synagogue, they were giving him scriptures. And that scriptures, he found himself. And after reading the scriptures, he told them, now this scriptures is fulfilling in your ears. Because God has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. So I also decided to start I started to implement my vision in my home town, because charity begins at home, and as Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher, so I have to tell my people, and because I was in the overseas, I have to give them the money to do something, to organize. So when I send them the money, the people did not understand the vision. They were fighting among themselves. Position. They were fighting among themselves. Position. And because they did not understand themselves, the vision I planted was not able to build. They started build a school, which to me is part of the vision. But the school did not stand because the bus I bought for them, my own brother, my senior brother, he was not born again. And he chose to, ride on the people. Because in physically, he was telling the people, he is my brother. So he took advantage of me being his brother and tried to do on his own. At long last, they burned the bus I purchased with my money to them. They burned it. And luckily, the bus didn't burn. So it didn't operate anymore. Until I went back on 2000, I decided to put things in order. But when the opportunity came that I have to come to the United States, because the Lord has already shown to me that it is here that I will come to fulfill my destiny. So I have to leave them and come to United States of America. And it seems the vision died off when I came the school collapsed, everything collapsed because there were nobody who was controlling it. They lacked everything. When I gave them the money to do this thing, because they want to steal the money, they decided to buy a plot and build a house for me because they know that as a woman being, I will need a house to stay whenever I come to my country. So in their own knowledge, they were thinking they are doing me good, but not knowing that they were doing me bad. The land they bought is now where, and the building that they built is like a building of a chicken. It's not good. So when the Holy Spirit came to me again, he revealed, why not use the land or the building? Try to renovate it and use it as a clinic, a Holy Spirit maternity clinic for the people. So that was the time I discovered that it's not wasted. I can still, rebuild the house and use it as maternity clinic. So there's a lot of people who will follow your vision with flesh. Fleshly minded. It's only God that will bring people that has a heart that can support you, that can understand your. And because God has given me this vision, He is strengthening me. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Though the vision has delayed, but God has not denied me. It's still giving me strength that I can. Like when I was in Italy, there were a lot of Italians. They were Catholic. And those Catholic doctrine is deeply, they saw that I'm somebody who have called from God and trying to help my people. So they supported me with some money or material thing, but it was not something continuously. So it made me clear that Italy was not a place I should stay. And God make a way for me to come to the United States, where I pursued my destiny, and now I'm in the United States. I'm trying to bring this vision out again. And right now, the building is being constructed, and maybe this year you may finish the first project that we can show to the public about my vision. So when God gave you a vision, don't look at anybody who is going to help you. Your only help, God will not share His glory with other people. So that when the testimony comes, you will give God only the glory. So if you rely on the people, they will block you, and they will not even let you to accomplish the vision God has given you. And God is going to hold you responsible. God is going to hold you responsible because He didn't give it to any other person except you. He knew your heart that you were able to accomplish. That's why He gave you the vision. So see yourself with you and God alone, you and His Holy Spirit alone, and try to share the vision to whoever will love to hear or whoever is willing to hear. This vision, when I share, is true. You are going to get enemies. People will not like you. But I continue to share. But that doesn't mean that they can stop you. No. Nobody can stop you. It's only God that can stop you if you refuse to fellowship with Him. Because He is the one that is training you, developing you to have fellowship, right? To bring people to assist you. So, as for my own experience, the best thing is to be in God, to be in connection with God, who we draw our strength and power from. And by so doing, in His own appropriate time, it will bring people to support you. Amen.
I agree with you totally, and I would invite the listeners to listen to our first series regarding worship, covenant, and relationship with God as a Christian leader and the importance of it, because it does lead to being able to share a vision that is concise, a vision that with clarity, a vision with focus, a vision that is well-planned, a vision that will have established goals and full timelines, and a vision that will consider the risk or the obstacles that you may face in the future and how to handle those obstacles and bring the vision back into the right perspective that God gave to you. Because as we see with the apostles, as they were going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they faced many obstacles along the way, but they were able to reconcile and get themselves back on the right track into moving forward the vision of Jesus Christ, which is to build up the kingdom of God. The more we build up the kingdom of God, then the body of Christ will be successful, because we are lessening the darkness of satanic forces. We are lessening the kingdoms of darkness, and we're tearing them down and building ours up. So it's not so much of a work of having to go and expose the kingdoms of darkness and tearing them down, because the kingdom of God is so built up and we're so on fire for Christ. We're worshiping him, we're in covenant, we're in relationship, that the enemy will not be able to successfully penetrate us at every angle. Now, it doesn't mean that he will not stop trying, because even he went to try to tempt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But, of course, he failed, because the word was in the beginning, and so shall it be in again, in as he is the Alpha and Omega. So another way that we can, one of the most important things about the 12 things that I exposed in, setting up your vision strategy to share it concisely and with clarity, one of the key things is understanding your own vision. As I said before, when you look at Peter, he had a vision, and then God shifted it slightly and said to go ahead and spend some time with what was considered unclean. Now I see that it's clean, so spend some time in that area. Sometimes you have a vision and you're focused, you're going, and you're headstrong with it because your passion, God had put in passion in you, and sometimes he will shift the vision. So it's very important to understand your vision. Take discernment of what is good and bad about your vision. What is the impact of the vision? Who does your vision relate to? What are the advantages of your vision? What are the disadvantages of the vision that God have given you? As far as your manly perception can say, so that you can dispel all of it and move forward in the advantages of the visions that God have given you. Who will be interested in the vision? Who will be your audience? For instance, in Apostle Paul's situation, is mothers who want their children to be safe, delivered safely in the world. Who would be interested in that vision? And how will you influence others to buy into the vision? The whole focus is about the key role players that God will give you. The key role players that God will give you, not the ones that you want to choose from your fleshly means, but the ones that God will inspire and send to you. Now, can an agent of Satan come to you as well? Yes. So you have to discern, is this a key role player that God has given you? don't automatically just jump up and say, because someone come to you and say, I think I can help you with this vision. Is this person the one that God has sent to you that can understand your vision, that you can share it with them and they can run the race with it, empowered and equipped in it to help you with the vision? Is your vision measurable? Does your vision, is it measurable to where you can see the progression along the way? So you can look back, I planned that I will start first by purchasing the land. And now you have passed that phase. Then you can look back, I was successful in that. I was able to accomplish it by the grace of God. God, by the insight that he has given me, how he has inspired me to start walking and taking steps in it. You can look back at it and say, I was successful in this. And now that you learned that it's successful, you learn from it, now you know these things will work. These concepts and principles are working for me. And then also you can consider mapping your vision. So, and what does it do for you? It helps you to generate new ideas, clearly define the what's, when, how, why, where of your vision, the vision that God has given you. It also allows you to plan and establish SMART goals that will help you to achieve success in every goal that is set for the vision. It will help you to also visualize and map it. Visualization, being able to see this is what this will look like in the end. If you start building a building and you don't know what it will look like, it's supposed to look like in the end, you will never be able to set order in the vision. You will not be able to achieve being successful in what the final outcome was supposed to look like. Without God, you cannot do it. How to be proactive when these potential risks or obstacles come in the way. You know, one of a potential risk of being able to set up a ranch that is self-sufficient and that let's say you decide, I want to bring solar panels in. What is the potential risk that those solar panels will not work? If you are in by that land in a place where it's raining all the time and cloudy, in most cases, you won't be successful about being self-sufficient. So what is your backup? Do you add wind power for a backup to keep the electricity flowing? What is your backup for each one of those risks? How do you mitigate when a potential risk may occur? How do you manage that risk? Well, if it occurs that this is not working, what is my next thing? What is my next solution? What is my next solution for these obstacles that you may be able to, that may come in the midst of your planning and getting the vision set up to where before you can share it with someone? Because if you don't have clarity in it and you're not concise and you're not and someone else can see all of these things, then they're going to be like, should I follow such a vision? Should I go along with it? Is it really what God has inspired me to do? Of course, if it is what God has inspired you to do, if they're spiritually sound, they will follow it without condition. But when there's, it becomes questionable, an individual will ponder with it for a while before they will move forward because they can't see the clarity and conciseness in your vision. Spark off a new, unique, and innovative ideas. So are you doing what someone else has done? Are you following their vision instead of the vision that God has given you without even recognizing that that is what you are doing? Are you continuing to seek God for insight along the way, or are you just running what he gave you with in the beginning? God will continue to feed you along the way, so it's important to continue to remain connected and in contact and communication with him. You have to stimulate and motivate passion to succeed. When you get up in the morning, what is your first thing to stimulate and motivate you? As for me, I like to get up and I like to pray and seek God. God, what do you want me to do today? What order do you want me to take? How do you want me to do this? You know, I need to communicate with God first time in the morning to get insight. And even as I'm sleeping and waking up in the middle of the night, I'm saying, okay, God. And amazingly enough, it's like all of this stuff comes into order. All of the pieces will be put in place where they need to be, so you can move forward with clarity and direction in every day, every moment, every hour that you have to get this vision into place. But when you begin to set your focus somewhere else, and you will lose direction and the full concepts and principles that you are trying to establish for the vision. But in all of these, I say pray, seek the Lord. Along the way, all the time, seeking God. And if you're seeking him, he will definitely give you the revelation. He will help you to overcome the obstacles. He will put the strategy and the innovation inside of you to be able to fulfill the destiny and set the vision concisely and in order. And your vision, when you're defining your vision should reflect on the direction that God wants you to take to make it successful. So if I'm building a self-sustained ranch, for instance, it can get confusing. Confusion and distortion can set in if it's not written down clearly for you to understand it. So first of all, again, I stress that before you share your vision, make sure you understand it. Make sure you know the end of the means of your vision before you relate it to others, because you want to make sure that you know what you're doing and that they will see that you know what you're doing before you do it. You want to also be able to define your challenges. As I said, what are those potential risks? It could be time. Oftentimes, one of the things we forget about, even though that we are building up the kingdom of God, we're in the midst of laws and permits and zoning, potential natural hazards. You have to consider it. Do I build it 100 feet away from a beach where there's windstorms that normally come through? No, we as the children of God, God is not going to set us up for failure. So again, we have to continue to seek God for every answer along the way. And you know, the building structure. Do I build a wooden structure in a place where termites are going to come in and set in and tear the building down, that it won't last for generation to generation to generation? Do I use concrete all through the building? What type of materials do you want me to use to set this foundation, to set this building the way that you want it to be? And now you also have to consider with your vision, your mission. What do you want to unleash your purpose and objective in this vision? What do you want to unleash to the people that God is sending you to build up and to equip and help with this vision? What is God sending you to unleash in this? You know, oftentimes we get a vision, as I said, but because we fail to make it concise, we lose the essence and the focus of what we're doing, and then we begin to procrastinate and procrastinate. And before long, you know, the vision is diminishing out. We have to continue to pace with the vision that God has given us. So lastly, I want to state we have to define value. What value will your vision disclose or reflect on the core beliefs and priorities that will make your vision a success? What is your priorities in all of it? What are your core beliefs? As the children of God, our core beliefs is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's our core beliefs. So we should make that in all things that we do a priority. Apostle Paul is... I'm opening the floor to you to shed more insight.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes. You see, we want to, get away the Babylonian system. And because we are all born into this system, it has become part and parcel of us. So some of the people stole the vision from other people, the churches, the orphanage, or helping the people to food bank or whatever this thing. They are all in the place, but the people ideas are not directly from God. They are not directly from God. So people, like most of the churches, build schools. They build a lot of things of that nature, which they are also doing, showing to the people that they are doing something. But all these things, are they building the kingdom of God, or they are continuing to build the Babylonian system? So this is very, very important. Now, my vision that God has given me is to make sure that the people that I gather there, people that are destined to heaven. You see, when we talk about assembled, actually, very professionally, I'm a technician. I know how to assemble engine. When you assemble an engine, and the engines or the components are not in the in proper position, the engine will not start or not will not function well. So when we talk assembling of God people, we make sure that we put them in a position where they can function very well. That is the most important thing. Not starting a church or not starting letting people come over. Oh, everybody's coming. But the church has to function in such a way that the power will generate from the church. If we are assembling the people and they are not in order, power will not generate. There will be lack of power. And God, we all need power. We all need power. Even kingdom come by power. No kingdom that are listening. The people that are operating, the people are giving them the power. So kingdom come by power. Kingdom doesn't come by any means, by the power. So the people that you are assembling, they have to know the reason why we are an assembly. We are together. Because we want to produce power. So, what am I saying? As a technician, I will never put a bad component to where it's supposed not to be. I have to examine the component and see if the components function very well, like carburetor. Where before, we were having carburetors. The carburetor had to does the work of carburetor. The crankshaft had to do the work of the crankshaft. the piston had to do the work of the rings had to do. So all these things they have designed. God, the people who manufacture cars have designed in such a way to produce power, whereby we call it horsepower. I can transport people. So we Christians too, we want to assemble ourselves so that we can produce power. God, the Holy Spirit will produce power through us. So we cannot put anybody in anyhow. Let's say, for instance, if I join a church right now, because they will see me newly, they know me newly, they will not find the Spirit in me. They will not, try to know whom I am, how developed I've been. But because I've come newly, they will not even appreciate my fellowship until maybe I stay there for 5 years or 6 years and trying to prove myself before they will know that, oh, this man is filled, Holy Spirit filled something. And because I cannot wait, I cannot be waited for so long, I will also look for where people who accepted me and know my potential. So this is one of the areas. People, if the leaders will not look in the natural realm or in the flesh, or taking years. Somebody may be in a church for so many years, but he's not born again. But they will put him there because he's long time he has been in the church. So they will put him there. The church will not produce any power because God sees us in the spiritual. He doesn't look at in the natural. He look at our hearts. Look at our hearts, how connection we have connected ourselves before he can call us. So my vision is now to have Holy Ghost maternity clinic. It's not like the worldly clinic that they are in the mission. We have evil and good all together. I will make sure that the people working there as nurses and midwives, they are Holy Spirit filled people. And God is going to use them to deliver children, that their destiny will be intact with them. And from there, we are going to have a school whereby these children who go to school, it's a Holy Spirit school. We are going to teach them to develop their talent, their skills, to become Christ a politician, let me put it, Christ doctors, Christ nurses, Christ all the professors. So it's going to be like that because we are developing in Christ. So all what we are doing is we are doing it for the kingdom. They are doing it for kingdom. So when they stand as politicians, they speak like godly politicians, without insult, without backbiting, but they know God is positioning them to be politics for God. So this is what the area I'm heading to. So it will take time, but I know God himself will bring people who understand the vision for us to take power. Because all what we are looking for is power. The power to calm down. The Holy Spirit's power to calm down. God taking power on the earth here before the King of Kings will come. So, we are not, copyrights, looking for how others are doing. So we are going to do the same. Churches are established in the same way. No strategy. Nothing is copyright. When you go to this church, the same thing. When you go to this church, the same thing. There's no strategy. is man-made churches. But because our Lord Jesus Christ has given us understanding, and we know the type of foundation he laid for us. So we are going to examine the foundation Christ laid for us and build on that foundation. And we will have people that are ready for God. So as soon as all these establishments have been established, you see how God will prosper us and God will make us vote for people whom we see they are godly people to do politics. Not in the dirty way as he does it right now. So they need your vote. They need your power. They need you. So I'm trying to, even if God called me home, that I will not finish. The people that will follow me will understand what we are held into. We want to educate the people to make them Christ-like. Christ-like in every profession. Christ-like in every way that we produce Christ and represent our people in all areas of life. And you see, Christ's coming will be quick because devil will not tolerate. His nose, his power has been in generations. So he's going to cause a war. Before he caused the war, the rapture has come. God has come and raptured the people. And death is going to be put into prison. You will look for death. Death will not come. And the people who cannot, give themselves to Christ now are going to suffer their body. They are going to be a bloodshed. Because the grace period will soon be over. The grace period will be, and God will give them the second chance if they don't take the mark of the beast. This is the time that people have to, get the salvation through their own blood. The period of grace is going to be end. So a time will come in. You have a lot of money in your bank. You cannot take it unless you get a mark. And we have been preaching that those who get that mark will die forever. They will go to hell forever. So what should you do? You will resist. You will be punished. The devil is going to torture you for you to know that why God says it's grace, salvation is a free gift that he has provided. You should have buy it. You should have given yourself before the time comes when the tribulation will start. So we are now, God has given us a period of grace. So as I'm preaching or as I'm talking to the people, I'm appealing to them that if they have money or if they listen, they have to desire to have God. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, it gives you a joy. There is a peace in your mind. So why not have that peace and be the first a candidate of rapture? All the rapture people are supposed to be a candidate. We are candidates. Whether some will be raptured or some will die before the rapture, or some will go through the time of tribulation. It depends on our choices. But I will urge them to choose life whereby you support God's vision. You support God's, like at Noah time, only his family supported him. All those people were giving marriage, they were eating, making party, do all sorts of things. Somebody may ask, so when somebody is marrying, is it a sin? The Bible, it is written in the Bible. They were married. It means they put marriage in their face. Everybody is thinking how he can go to honeymoon. Everybody is putting, I mean, is doing what will make him happy in the flesh.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
But, you know, let me make an announcement real quick, Apostle. You are listening to Kingdom Empowerment Blog Talk Radio Show, and this is host Donna Wortham, and you're also listening to co-host Paulias Amakodia, and we're here talking about sharing your vision and making it concise with clarity, and how we're giving you understanding on how you can take that vision and be able to increase it and use it for the equipping and the empowerment of the body of Christ. As children of God, we want to continue building up the kingdom, reaching out to others and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and also increasing the kingdom and thereby also lessening the darkness that is on the face of the earth. If we can build up the kingdom and be able to use the visions that God have given us, as we stated in the beginning, write the vision down and make it plain. So how do we write the vision down and make it plain? Well, as the Bible says, you know, we must start writing somewhere, because if we just start moving on our vision without having clarity, making it concise, it will be difficult to make it understood to someone. And if we give it to them based on our understanding and not the understanding of God, not by his vision, then we're also are failing to make the vision come into fruition, or help that vision that he have given us to come into fruition as vessels of God. Now, once he have given you a vision, I believe that he's empowering you, that he's saying, go forward with this vision and put it in place on this earth so that you can begin to impact in your communities, impact the environments that he have given for you to impact, to set a new order. One of the things that you may want to do when you are clearly defining that vision is dominate your atmosphere, dominate the atmosphere that you're in, dominate the atmosphere that God have given you to place the vision in as well. So you want to create a peaceful and serene type of environment where you can concentrate and remain focused and creative in your vision. When there's a lot of disorder, when you lack order and it's a clutter all around you, it's difficult for you to focus in on the vision and make it plain. So you want to dominate your atmosphere. One of the things I did when I was in Ghana, West Africa, I would go to the sea and spend time by the water so I can communicate with God and get revelation from him. Just sitting there for hours on a time and looking at the magnificence of his creation alone was giving me insight. So I communicate with him, and he's communicating back with me. Even if I'm just asking, oh, God, how is it that the masses of these waters, or, you know, is so profound that there's no man could have created it? Give me more insight and revelation on this, God. And he begin to feed you. And when you go and pick up the word of God, he gives you more revelation. So you need to dominate the atmosphere that you're in so you can take time to clearly focus in and be creative in what God has given you, because it will be difficult for you to take discernment on it and continue to build on the vision when you're in chaos, where you don't have time to focus in the vision that God has given you. So to understand how you are to, we're trying to give you insight on how you can put this vision in an order to where you and write it down to where you can release it to the audience or the key role players God have given you, where they're ready to be on board with you. Now, for instance, if I'm in China, the way I'm going to communicate to someone in China will be different from the way that I communicate and release an understanding than what it would be in the United States. So I have to consider all of those things. And when I'm relating my vision to someone, when I'm adding clarity to it, I can't just do it based on my physical thinking, my physical way of relating it, because maybe the way, even the way I approach them will be differently. So if I shake their hand, do I need to keep physical contact with them that they will even respect me and listen to me after that point? I need to consider all of those things when I am relating my vision over, even though that God has sent them to me, because otherwise they will become questioned. It will become questionable. People hear, they see, you know, they listen with their ears, they smell, they taste. They have their own way of letting their bodily senses be activated, even though that spiritually, you know, because the Bible says test the spirit. So they will begin, there will be questionable. So if we're in truth and spirit in the things of God, then of course we will be able to relate it over in a perspective that God will open the door. For instance, when I was going to visit one of the chiefs in an area of Ghana, you know, the Holy Spirit said, go and buy bottles of juice, but quartons of juice, and take it before you go. And when you present, the Holy Spirit showed me how to present it to the chief before I presented it. Well, it opened up an avenue to be able to communicate and talk with the chief and release the vision that God had given me for that community. So there are certain things that we always need to seek God for revelation on everything, but we also need to be obedient to the revelation that is given to us when we're moving forward. We shouldn't leave no part left undone that the Holy Spirit have given us. So we also need to prioritize our ideas by importance and dependency. So if I say that I'm going to build a self-sufficient ranch, what is a dependency? What is the areas that I need to consider that are going to impact me, the beginning of this process? So in order for me to buy the land, I'm dependent on the monies. I'm dependent on regulations in that area to make it happen, because we're still living in systems that do not move the way that we would like to move. So I have to adjust my way of thinking to adapt to making these things happen, which is going to take time and research and going into these things. So we have to analyze our vision. Do we share with friends that God have given us? God may say, go and talk to Susie today. You know, he may put it up on your heart. Talk to Susie today. And then Susie will, maybe God will use Susie to shed insight into your vision in certain areas where you have missed the point, or that the puzzles have not been placed together in order. And then you want to continue to look at the vision over and over again Do you just take it from where it was in the beginning and never look at it again? By no means, no way. We want to continue to look at it over and over again. We look at people that are men and women of God that have been successful. We see that they have taken time to look at this vision again, not to sit on it and wait that, oh, I know and have faith that this is going to happen, but faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And that means that we also have to look at this vision and put it in the proper order and the perspective as God has given it to us and aligning it. So thereby, when we release it, everyone is ready and on board with you. The Holy Spirit is working with you. Your hindrances and your obstacles are being removed. And then also you want to consider your strengths, the weaknesses of the strengths and weaknesses of the vision, the opportunities you may have in the vision, any potential threats that may come forward in the vision. So that way when you're moving forward, you know, okay, I already considered that this could be a problem, an issue, a threat. So now I can easily move it out of the way. God have given me insight to move this threat, this obstacle, this challenge out of my path, out of my direction. So I don't have to wait until it happens before I decide how I want to fix it, or how the Lord has given for me to deal with it. So even along the way, as we're considering all these things, we should continue to document so we can look back at it and see, oh, did I consider this as an obstacle before? Did I not? Why is this thing facing me and now is delaying me 7 years from moving to the next area where I needed to be? We have to look at those things, because if we just move some people say basa, just without anywhere, anyhow, all over the place, messed up, then there's no order there, and there can be no consistency, because you'll have to keep reaching and grabbing from every area to put it into place, put in all of the puzzles, and it makes it more difficult to align everything into the proper perspective for the vision. Now, you also want to consider, again, your benefits by taking all of the benefits of it and then measure how you can reach those areas. You want to take also what you have documented and continue to research, to continue to seek revelation with God on your vision to make it come into the fruition of where it needs to be. And there are many tools that you can use to make that happen. I would suggest that you do your research well. So instead of just having a vision to start a ranch for a prayer ranch that is self-sustained and sufficient, by the end you should have more clarity in the vision by saying, my vision to build a fenced, self-sustained, how many bedrooms do you want it to be? If it's concrete, non-combustible, so the flames do not come up on it if a fire starts anywhere on the land, and God forbid that ever happening. Do you want it to be one story, two stories? Will you have two car garages? Will you, like when people are coming to it, that if it's raining they can come in and have access without getting wet or causing problems? What are you thinking about along the way of this? And as we talked about before, if you're going to use solar technologies, windmills, wells, what type of other backup of electricity you can have on the land? Will you have to have a water pump for the wells to pump the water into the home? Will you store up water somewhere else just in case something happens? Will there be barns? Will you have animals? You want it to be self-sufficient, so will you have animals? Will you have crops? Where will you place it? What location is it going to be in? And when do you expect to have all of this completed by? So you can have an urgency. I need to meet this mark. So what step do I need to take next? What goals do I need to follow this week to bring this vision into fruition, to where, again, is burping the seed that God have given you to birth forth, to increase the kingdom of God, where, again, whereby, again, we lessen the forces of wickedness. We lessen their power here on earth, and we increase the power of the kingdom of God. How do we do all of those things? We must write the vision down and make it plain for the persons, the key role players God have given you, so that when you're telling them and you're sharing that vision with them, they can take clear understanding on what you're doing. And I just want to refresh your memory again with Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1 and 4, just for you to think about it again. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. How are you going to take discernment on what God has given you unless you watch, unless you wait for him to answer you? And the Lord answered me, verse 2, and the Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, and he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. So the truth and the spirit is in it. The truth and the spirit is in. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. And that word is not saying wait in time for it, but wait upon it. Wait upon it. Ponder with it. Don't delay in it. Wait on it. Because it will surely come and it will not tarry. So it says, though it tarry, but at the end he said, it will not tarry. So this is the word of the Lord. But his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Apostle Paul, as we're in the last few minutes of the show, would you like to pray, and for those out there have a vision and haven't started, that God will begin to help them to be concise and clear in that vision so that they can go forth and build up the kingdom of God. Amen.
Yeah. Before I pray, let me say these two things. God will never give all of us vision, but he will give us insight to support a vision. So
yeah.
If we are looking for a vision, God may not give you a vision, but because
mm-hmm.
you are his child, he can give you an insight that, oh, what this brother is saying, or what this apostle is saying, it seems that God has given him a vision. So willingly, you come to support, or you come to, partner with that person. Most especially, people in America here, most of the visions that are this thing, America is very materialistic. So nothing you do that it will draw people attention. Because to build a clinic, there is a hospital, better clinics that we see here. But spiritually, they are not operating as God wants you to operate. But in Africa, it's very difficult to see clinic or this thing. So it will draw attention of the people. You want to draw people attention to the kingdom. So that is the reason why I call my ministry, Cries for the African Ministries, because it will draw people's attention, and that will allow us to minister to them and for them to receive Christ if they are not yet. So let us pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for your loving kindness that you bestow for us. We thank you for the kingdom principles. We thank you for giving us this platform to your mind. We pray that the people who are listening to us will take your word seriously, and to, if they have never died with you, they will die with themselves and receive a vision if you want to give them a vision. And if you want them to support a vision that you, God, have created, let them come out and support the vision. We thank you and we glorify your holy name. Give them the spirit of boldness. Give them the spirit of doubting. Give them the spirit of sensitive, that they can sense the Holy Spirit when he is approaching. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have
Amen. And again, you have been listening to Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., Blog Talk Radio Show. This is Donna Wortham, the host. You also have been listening to the co-host, Paulius Amacodia, of Christ for the African Ministries. Christ for the African Ministries. He's been called to open up a Holy Ghost maternity clinic inside of Africa, to make sure and ensure that the children that are being born will be able to come into the world successfully without the hindrances of the darkness, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Apostle, we pray that God will send forth key role players, and that he will also send forth those that have a passion to increase the vision that he have given you. I want to share some additional events that are coming up in this week. On March 12th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have Corrine Sandifer with us, and she will expose five reasons why you need a life coach. Five reasons why you need a life coach. And Corrine is a Christian life coach, and she wants to talk to the body of Christ and share insight as in five reasons why you need a life coach. So join us on Wednesday for that. We also will have on Thursday Little Rickman. Little Rickman, who is a five-year-old artist, a Christian song artist, he will be there to share his song and his music with us, along with his father, Chris Rickman, who is also a Christian song artist. So come along and be a part of the show. We will be recording at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, March 13th. So join us for the show. Again, we will come back on Saturday morning for the Blog Talk Kingdom Empowerment Prayer Hour, where we will be here to impact and aboard the kingdom of. We invite everyone to be with us. We are here again to equip and empower the body of Christ and share kingdom keys that will add value to your destiny and the purpose that God has given you. We thank you for being a part of the show, and as always, we just want to say we love you. We love you, and with the love of the Lord, which is unconditional, and God bless everyone. Amen.
Amen.